Now, what you'll find is that as we begin to look at these different names of the Holy Spirit, it actually reveals a lot about his character, Spirit of Truth, in that he guides us into truth. The proclaimer, in that he proclaims Jesus Christ and God the Father. So you begin to see all of these different things that he does. Now, I don't know about you, but I was completely amazed at how many names there are for the Holy Spirit in the Bible. This chart that is being handed out to you, if you notice at the top, this is just the first time in the Bible that that any of these names are used. Now, I will be honest with you, on Spirit of Burning, Spirit of Judgment, Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding, those Isaiah passages, for some of those, that's the only time that that name is used. However, on my little cheat sheet, because I'm the teacher and I get all the answers, right? Spirit of God is used Genesis through 1 John. Just that name alone is used over this huge expanse of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is used from Numbers through Revelation. That, you know, there are a lot of people, and I'm hoping you're not any of them, but there are a lot of people that think that the Holy Spirit kind of didn't just show up until the book of Acts. This should blow that theory right there, just off of these names. The most frequently used names are Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Spirit. And then we're going to talk very specifically about the term that's used in John's writing, because it is very, very different from anywhere else in the Bible, which was a really heavy revy for me because I did not know that. We talked about God being like the operating system of a computer, right? So it was a big download for me on this one. So I wanted to get that in your hands. Now, obviously, we are not going to go through each and every single one of these today. This is more for your reference. I'm continuing as we go throughout this, trying to put probably more materials in your hands than you maybe wanted. But for some of you, you're really hungry and you want some information to go through. So I'm trying to provide more for you to do in your own personal study, yet also keep us, you know, moving forward in what we're doing. So that is a handout for you to look over. Are there any names on there that were kind of a surprise to you? Spirit of Burning. You know what? And we're going to get more into this when we talk about how the Spirit is symbolized in the Bible. But very frequently, the Spirit is symbolized by fire in the Bible. So then that helps make that term a little more clear. See how much fun we're going to have? This is just going to go so deep. Any other names that maybe you thought about but didn't realize he was actually named that? There's so many. So let's talk about this. Would someone please turn to John 14:26? This is a very, very familiar passage to you. I want to talk about that word helper, because as I said before, the translation of helper for that word is a word that is used only by John. Out of the entire Bible, it is used only by John, and he uses it quite frequently in his writings. So what is really interesting about this, overall, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Spirit is referred to as the root word of pneuma, like pneumatic, pneumonia, air, breath, Spirit. So that's how the Spirit is usually referred to in the New Testament. In Hebrew, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, the letter Rauch, something like that. Rauch, R-A-U-C-H. But again, the same meaning of air, breath, Spirit. But helper is translated as the root word, it's called parakletos, the paraclete. And isn't it interesting that John is the only one that uses that? You know, this was a disciple that was very, very close to Jesus. And he had, for whatever reason, he had an insight into the Holy Spirit and described him in a very different way. Now, technically, a paraclete is actually a legal advisor. It would be more of your attorney, so to speak, and someone who is standing by your side, representing you and helping you and guiding you, which is why we get advocate, guide, companion, advocate, helper. Those are all different translations of that same word that John uses. So it's interesting, some of the names that you were tossing around at the beginning when I said, oh, just give me names for the Holy Spirit, comforter, helper, advocate, those were actually all translations of one word by one person, which is why I think that that handout of all of these different names is so important to you, to see all of the other things that he is. not that the Holy Spirit isn't our helper, isn't our advocate. He very much is. And I did do a lot of comparison between other translations, and you find a lot of similarities of these names even with other translations. There are a few changes. Interestingly enough, the one with the most changes is on this word Parakletos. Oh, yeah. That's the one that has the broadest expanse of different names. Isn't that interesting? So when we think about this paraclete, this helper, this guide, in this passage, he really is talking in a very intimate way of this Holy Spirit. And it is a great encouragement to us that he is our helper, that he is our legal advocate before God the Father and God the Son, that he is so much of an advocate that, as it talks about in Romans, that as we are praying, he is interceding with us and matching it to the will of God. Now, I can tell you for sure, there are times that I'm praying, and I am positive that I am not praying the will of God. As much as I want to, I know I'm not. But praise the Lord that there is the Holy Spirit that says, she didn't really mean that. She doesn't know it yet. So I'm just going to pray what you want here, and I'm going to help her figure this out. Isn't that cool to think that we have that kind of assistant, that kind of friend and helper on our side, that advocate? But it's interesting, if you look at 1 John 2:1, so here we see a picture of kind of a trial before God, that, hey, if any one of you has anything, we have the helper that will advocate before us before God. Would someone else turn to John 15:26? And then also 16:7-11. So think about this. The same word, helper, is used, advocate, you know, whatever the translation was there. That same word is used with two very different scenarios. In 1 John, we're seeing a trial between us as children of God and God, that advocate is there advocating for us. In the second, we're seeing the advocate that is between God and the world and says, I am sending forth this Holy Spirit to reveal God and to convict of sin. So a multi-purpose advocate here that is drawing us closer to God, that is also drawing a lost world closer to God and convicting of sin in the same way that he does with us. I think because we are fallible humans, that it would probably be short-sighted of us to think that even in our best intentions, we are always praying what God's will is, because we're human and full of error. Now, because of this, the advocate's role of the Holy Spirit, he is able, because he's never, ever, ever going to intercede anything that would oppose God's will, because he's also God of that 3-in-1. You can't have a fight between them. So if we are the ones that are not fully praying God's will here, then he's the one that is stepping in the gap, so to speak, to between God and us to say, no, let's turn this into what your will is, God, and continue to intercede. She's really trying to pray your will here. She just doesn't have it right yet. Obviously, God's will is always going to remain. However, what I think is more likely is that he will begin to change our heart so that we are seeing God's perspective on things. Now, in the realm of someone who's bent for destruction, that gets into a whole predestination realm that's a whole other topic that, again, we could go on and theologians have been debating for years. So that's a very tricky example, which, as I shared last week, an example that I love about praying for healing is the Africans that we work with. One of them said, you know what, here's our view of praying for people for healing. We pray until they get better or until they die. If they die, we pray that God would resurrect them from the dead. If he doesn't, we bury them and we start praying for the next person. You know, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, when we were in Sudan this last time, the van broke down. We were all kind of praying that God would just get the van fixed so we could get on the road. But that isn't what needed to happen. We needed to sit on the road for 7 hours so we could get to the God-appointed place to help plant a church that night. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is there bridging that gap for us, opening our eyes to what God is wanting to do, and yet also pleading our heart before God and saying, I'm on their side, but we need some tweaking. So give me your thoughts a bit on this helper, this advocate, because I have one more thing I want to reveal after about this helper. Yeah, like the best attorney possible. Yeah, and not only an attorney that defends us legally, but intimately before God. And I love him for changing my character instead of my circumstances, and yet I get really frustrated with him at the same time. Which, again, thank you that there is the Holy Spirit to help us through that. Which really, when you think about it, even from the aspect of advocate and helper, beating us, I hate to say the word beating, but getting us to see that new perspective in the midst of it is hard work, but it makes us better. And even in that hard work, there's the active role of the Holy Spirit helping us to become more of who God wants us to be in the midst of that. That's not something you want to hear on a bad day, is it? Which I, again, going back to what Ron was bringing up of the spirit of burning and how I talked about the Holy Spirit being symbolized by fire, that refining process is much of what the Holy Spirit does in our life. And it feels like we're burning up as we're going through it. Well, here's something that I found really interesting. I wish I knew which Central African language it was, but I don't. But I was reading one commentary that was talking about the word paraclete and how it gets translated into different languages. Because in many cultures, an attorney is one of the most corrupt kinds of things out there. We could dare say even in America that happens. You know, think of all the lawyer jokes that you've heard. But they were talking about the challenge of translating that word, because in many cultures, attorneys and legal representation is so corrupt that it would be an absolute turnoff to people to read that. And in one Central African language, this is, I don't know what word they used, but this was the definition of the word that they used for paraclete in John's writings. The one who falls down beside us. That is to say, an individual who, upon finding a person collapsed along the road, kneels down beside the victim, cares for his needs, and carries him to safety. That same light bulb went off in my head when I saw that. Oh my goodness, the Good Samaritan. And I'll tell you, I never, ever, ever thought about the role of the Holy Spirit in the Good Samaritan story. Right. Ever. Until I read that. And then went, oh my goodness, this is a perfect example of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. Isn't that cool? I mean, just ponder that. I'm going to read this one more time, and I want you all to just close your eyes, and I want you to envision the Holy Spirit doing this in your life. The one who falls down beside you, an individual, because he is a person of the Trinity, an individual who, upon finding you collapsed along the road, kneels down beside you, cares for your needs, and carries you to safety. Now, right now, I want you and God, to have a little praise session, and I want you to thank God for the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. Guys, this is tip of the iceberg of what the Holy Spirit does for us. We're going to move a bit. We're not going to finish it today, but I want to get started on some of the attributes and characteristics of the Holy Spirit, because there are many, and they are pretty cool. Would one of you already start turning to Isaiah 11:2? Someone else, Romans 8:27? And again, as I said before, when you begin to look at the names of the Holy Spirit, they reveal an awful lot of the nature and character of the Holy Spirit. But there are some things that we see in Scripture that actually go beyond just the names and describe more of who he is, what he does, how he works. So those are some of the things that we're going to go through. And again, referring to the Holy Spirit as a person, he is a person, equal person of the Trinity. And so it's okay to see that he has certain qualities like we do. For example, he's intelligent. He is incredibly intelligent. He has a mind and a will. So Isaiah 11:2, Romans 8:27. And you'll see that I have many other verses listed down there for you. If you want to do personal study, you can look those up and make sure that I'm not telling you lies. You can study on your own. And if you find any mistakes like we did last week, please let me know, because I really don't like having mistakes out there. Call me perfectionist and crazy, but it's true. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Will someone turn there? So here we're seeing that the Spirit makes choices and has a will. He's making decisions. And of course, that's all in concert with God the Father, God the Son, because they are working together. But he is able to say, I am going to give this person this gift, this person this gift. And we're going to talk about some of these spiritual gifts in the future, but how they could be added to how they can be used differently, all of those different things. But the Spirit is helping decide those things and what tool to have us use. I found this interesting. Obviously, we're very familiar with the verse, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit." So I knew that he could be made sad. But I really didn't think about the breadth of emotions that the Holy Spirit has until I started digging into Scripture a bit. And you know what? He has a lot of emotions. So let's take a look at a few of them. Ephesians 4:30, we're very familiar with, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." But he can also be insulted. Would someone take a look at Hebrews 10:29? I never thought about the Holy Spirit being insulted. And yet, after I got to thinking about that and how easily we as humanity trample the Spirit of grace, trample the name of Jesus Christ, and how insulting that would be. Last night, we had a football game. We lost. It was not very fun to watch them lose, but it happens. I went on Facebook this morning, and there was somebody on our fan page who was insulting my coaches. And I'll tell you, Mama Lion came out this morning. Because I'm pretty protective of our players, and I'm pretty protective of our coaches. But it brought me back to this verse this morning of how easily we trample upon things and how the Holy Spirit goes, "Oh, I don't think so. You are not going to insult God the Father or God the Son." Isn't that kind of cool that he experiences the same emotions that we do and then is our advocate to help us get out of that into where we need to be with God in the midst of it? Yeah, and that's one of the things coming up. We actually see a very protective, nurturing Holy Spirit in Scripture as well. He rejoices and is joyful. Would someone turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:6? You can't give someone joy if you don't have it, right? So the Holy Spirit has joy as well and helps give that to us in times of great character development, as Kim was pointing out to us. He's a nurturer. I love this verse in Isaiah, and I'll read this one. "As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name." He's so caring that he knows we need rest. So he helps provide that rest for us, that the very Spirit of the Lord would give that to us. That he loves, Romans 5:5. Again, he's got the love of God pouring that into us so that we can love others. And protective, going to what Amy was talking about, 2 Timothy 1:14. "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." Now, walk into a bank, ask to go to the vault, and see what happens. You're going to have guards around. You're going to see the protectiveness of the treasure that is contained within. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. And we're even instructed, guard through the help of the Holy Spirit that which has been put inside you and entrusted to you. I don't know about you, but if I have a guard that is divine, knows the enemy's game plan, knows the mind of God, I want that guard by my side. I have traveled this world with armed guards at my side. They pale in comparison to that guard right there, because he's going to guard me in an emotional standpoint, physical, mental, everything. Pretty amazing, huh? Well, we're not going to go any farther on this sheet. I want to hear kind of some closing thoughts. What stood out to you today? What is something new that you learned about the Holy Spirit? Well, and that's actually one reason why I encourage people, you know, especially if I'm leading a prayer meeting or something, I really encourage people, take a moment before you open your mouth and pray and just ask God, "What do you want me to pray?" Because there's a big difference between praying what I want to pray versus I want to ultimately submit myself to your will. So what do you want us to pray together on this? And that's challenging. It is very challenging because it forces us to stop and listen and realign to, all right, I'm now submitted to you, God. What can we pray together and agree upon versus here is what I would like to see happen. And not that it's wrong to bring our desires before God. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we take just a moment and say, what are we praying today, Lord? It's amazing, as I've done this more and more in my life, how my little daily prayer sheet sometimes just gets abandoned and thrown out the into the trash that day, or gets added to, or something that I thought was very important really actually isn't what I spend time praying on. So it's an interesting exercise, and it's not easy, but it's fun.